for about 7.5 years. She's not much of a dancer, but she sure was a swinger down there. I say that and I get in trouble every time. Why did I walk into that? I don't know. But anyway, I met her at Clarksville Baptist College. I've lived 33 years in Ohio, 29 pastoring, but I served Air Force, Wright Pat, for four. And never there, always to shoot you out to, from Alaska to Africa and all over the place, the states. And I thank God for it, because while I was in the Air Force, I was saved. And I was brought up in Catholicism upstate New York into a parochial school and all that stuff, and Dominum Christum Sanctum Spirit. And I didn't understand a bit of it. Latin, it was the mass. The best thing, it was in a foreign language. It would have been just as foreign if it was in English. Amen. I mean, well, I'm telling you, I pray for my family. 2 years ago, brother, we went to, in 2018, we went to Ireland. I hope I got the date right there. About 2 years ago, anyway, in August, we went to Ireland to find out where my mom was born. And when I got over there, I started preaching. Brother Ellis over there, he had me preach. Wear me out, man. Those folks over there sing real loud. And it's echoey in the hall. I know it is. But he had me three times, man. He said, okay, our brother Malo has come to proclaim the word of God and get me up Sunday school, then sit down. I thought, okay, that's the one time. He got me up next time, and then the evening, Brother Malo, come back this evening. Brother Malo will be preaching. I said, man, I love to preach. I thought, well, I didn't know I was going to get that brief timer in one day. But anyway, I was so thankful. Gracious people put us up. While I was, the reason why I'm telling you about that trip to Ireland, I went over to find out where my mom was born, and met a lot of family and preached a whole lot of Catholic family over there. And in Tipperary County is where she was born, and I went to her home, the old farmhouse there, the homestead. And we have a castle. Kennedy was the maiden name. We have a castle. Don't look like much. Well, they got, everybody had castles over there. I mean, you had to build a castle. That was a fort. I mean, everybody, I mean, the conflict, everybody, nobody could get along, you know, they always fought. But anyway, I just want to mention that they started giving me prednisone. I had kidney failure, and I've been taking prednisone for 2 years, and it has, I noticed the pictures, the reason why I say that, Ireland, I was in no belly, no belly, didn't have a stomach, and my face, that is as wide as it'll get out. Now, it, I was a slim, very, very narrow-looking fellow. And start taking, well, that's my story anyway. I do have a good cook, you know, but I thank God for the Lord saving me. And not only that, but above and beyond, giving me a great wife, Wanda. She's an awesome, awesome woman. Met her at Clarksville Baptist College, 2 years there, two at Lexington. And the Lord called me to preach. Brother Gormley said, go, you preachers, you say you're called to preach, go. And it had about 15, 16 preachers, man, and they went in every direction, and I went to New Hampshire. I thought I was going to convert the heathen up there. Catholic French-speaking people, too, by the way. My dad spoke fluent French. The only little French that he taught me was mot de lawn. That was it. That's the only one. I'm serious. They're very fluent at it. I don't know where that happened. Boy, I would have liked to have had a foreign language, wouldn't you? Sometimes people listen to me, they say, you sound foreign to me. Well, let's turn into the Bible, if you would, in your Bible. And Luke, let's go to Luke chapter 1. And I want to talk to you about how John the Baptist was. Listen, this is a Baptist message, okay? My wife told me about a year and a half ago, I don't know, a couple of years back, two, three. She said after one sermon one time, she was a theologian down there, and she studied Gill's commentaries. Didn't have women's day and stuff down there in the jungle. And she had her daddy, Brother Crane's library down there. I'm telling you what, I married a theologian, and so I have to have everything right. And she told me this, Tommy, a couple of years, two, 3 years ago, man. I mean, it really shocked me. I mean, she said, listen, that sermon could have went into any community church. Man, how about a Baptist sermon? I kid you not. And so, you know, she's a Baptist. She was brought up a Baptist. She was saved when she was 8 years old. And, you know, the verse that really got her was that where the Lord said, you know, if you don't love me more than your mother and father. And as 8 year old little girl, she thought, man, I love my mommy and daddy a lot, you know. And she was convicted of that, that she didn't have the love for the Lord as much. And she was convicted, the reason why, because she was a sinner, of course, and she may not have known a whole lot, but she knew one thing, that she was guilty of sin and that she loved the Lord Jesus Christ for dying for her. Substitutionary death. I want to talk about great in the sight of the Lord. We're going to see this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, we find, had a forerunner. We know Him. There was thunder in the wilderness, by the way. This is what we're going to see over here. You know, Isaiah 40 and verse, you don't need to turn back there, but in verse 3 it says that the Lord Jesus Christ, has reference to John the Baptist, that He would be the forerunner. He would go before Him, and He would declare Him. And, you know, we are called to be witnesses. It said John was a witness. His name was John, and he witnessed of the light in John chapter 1. But I want you to look at one verse, if you would, and we'll come back to some of these. But look at verse 15. Here the angel reveals to John the Baptist. He tells him his name is John, by the way, you know. And he had a little problem with that. You know, sometimes we have a problem with the Lord's will, but Lord's will is for him to be named John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. Here he is. We see in verse 15, Luke 1, 15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And what I'd like to bring out about, you know, I want to be in great in the sight of the Lord. And, you know, the way of greatness, of course, is we need to humble ourselves. Amen. The way up is down, you know. We find all contrary to the way of our thinking, that we think one way and we find that the Lord teaches us contrary. By the renewing of the mind, we need to change our thoughts. We don't think the way we should, right? We're born with a mind that doesn't think the way that God would have us to think. And so that's why we need to be born again and given a new mind. And with that mind, we need to renew that mind with the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Heavenly Father, I pray Your blessing on this message. I pray that You'd give us understanding. Help me to speak fluently, clearly. We pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It was told about an old Indian, and you probably heard about this. He attended a church service. And, you know, the preacher's message, just like I said, lacked real spiritual food. This guy wasn't feeding, you know. And so what did he do? He went into shouting, pulpit pounding to cover up for his lack of preparation is what was going on there. And so he didn't have it. And in fact, sometimes, you know, he preached up quite a storm, you know. That's what, well. Well, after the service, somebody asked this Indian who was visiting, Indian Christian he was visiting, and he said, well, what do you think of the sermon? He said, well, his opinion was in six words. He said, high wind, big thunder, no rain. High wind, big thunder, no rain. And I tell you what, Brother Tommy, he lifts his voice up, but I tell you, there's a lot of rain, there's a lot of food there. And I've never met a man that has been so blessed of God that he put into print books, and now he's talking about e-books, and that's great. And you have been blessed, and I'm not trying to lift you up, but I'm telling you what, there's never been a sermon that I've heard you, never, that hasn't fed my soul or has corrected me. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, where I'm not is what I should be, you know. And if you're called to preach the Word of God, preach it. But here there was a man sent from God whose name was John, John 1:6. And he was said to be great in the sight of the Lord over there in our text in Luke 1:15. Now, there's a difference in being great in the eyes of men, we know, and great in the eyes of God. Contrary. The world's standards of greatness involves the applause of men, worldly accomplishments, you know, and fanciful prestige and lofty degree and all that stuff, you know. I mean, Baptists have never been in this category, okay? Baptist ministers shouldn't be in this category, all right? We're called to follow, we're called to plow, you know. Plow up your rough ground. And we've got some rough-hearted sinners out there, man, and we plow with the gospel. That's what we do. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, so that's what we preach. And what I want us to do, if you're right taking notes, and I hope that my wife, man, she takes notes. I look at her notes after I preach, and I tell you what, she's got a better outline than I do. And I don't know how that works out, but there it is. But anyway, we find the Lord spoke of John, his greatness, you know. And I don't want to turn over there, but Luke chapter 7 and 24, talking about John the Baptist Christ, our Lord, said of his greatness. It was not because of any miracles, because we know that John didn't perform any miracles. Amen? John 10:41 says, and John did no miracle. But he was great in the sight of the Lord. Didn't do any miracles. You see all this bunch on TV and the radicals out there and all these cults and false preachers. Boy, they'll get theirs one day, I sure tell you what. And they think they're getting by and they are just as ignorant and blind to the judgment. And I tell you, there are degrees of punishment in hell. Not everybody gets the same, you know. By the way, the atonement was in the Old Testament for the sin of ignorance. It covered that anyway, didn't it? Yeah. And thank God, you know, because many of us, we are ignorant of a lot of things of what God would have us to do. We ought not to be. And God has given us His Word, and we ought to seek Him to speak by His Spirit through His Word. Amen. And He does, you know. So each of us are aspired to be great for God. We ought to be anyway. John was, and we ought to. So let's see what God recognized in John the Baptist to call him great. And I want you to write down some things, you know. The Lord said in Matthew 11:11, He said, there was none greater that was born of a woman than John the Baptist. But he that's least in the kingdom, of course, is greater than he. Now, there's a distinction right there, okay? John rejoiced in John 3 to see the bridegroom. And where's the bride? Well, John later saw, another John saw in the book of Revelation, the bride coming down, said, come and I'll show you the bride, the angel said. And then John comes over to you. Next thing you know, he sees the city coming down. Well, that's not the bride, but that's her dwelling place. That's her abode. That's where the bridegroom and the bride and the kings, the nations, that is, I mean, of those that are saved, they come in and they bring their glory, or should I say, they see the glory of the Lord and they go on back out. See, they don't stay there. So I long to be, you know, the Lord picks out His bride. We know that. But I know one thing, according to Scripture, it's going to be out of Baptist churches, true New Testament Baptist churches. And not everybody that's in true New Testament church is going to be the bride, I'll tell you right now. All right, I'm not preaching on it. Let's talk about the greatness of John the Baptist. And I want to see some things. First of all, we find that John was great. Great? Yeah, great. How was he great in the sight of the Lord? Well, number one, first of all, he was great in his refusal and convictions. That's right. He shall drink neither, we read over there in Luke chapter 1, he shall drink neither, this is some of the description, I'm sorry for that, it says in verse 15, it goes on to say that he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And you know, I don't understand this, it says the pastors, bishops are not to be given a wine. Deacons, just a little. Hey, wait a minute there. And then some church member comes up and said, well, if deacons can have a little, then the church members can have a lot. No, I said, no, you can't have any. If you're in my church, you better not be touching any of the bottle, you know. But anyway, we find that John the Baptist was great in his refusal and convictions. What do I mean by that? You know, not opinions, but convictions. That's what this is my opinion. No. A conviction is given by the Holy Spirit. When you read the Word of God, God speaks to your heart, and with conviction, that is going to be there forever. That's something that will not depart, okay? You might rebel against it, but you'll repent of it if you do. A conviction is something that God, only God gives. Man might give you an opinion, but only God can give you a conviction. Conviction is what is right and what's wrong. And boy, when John the Baptist preached, you know, people to know what we stand for and what we won't stand for, right? I mean, you know, we all want to be positive and everything. But how about telling people what we don't believe in, amen? What we are against, you know? Definitely, I know we're against abortion and definitely against homosexuality. I know that's, you know, allowed. And I know on one side they say, well, abortion, they leave off that lesbian and homosexual. I tell you, there's nothing more sick than see on TV that thing, that nasty thing. They're coming out with stuff, even commercials. My wife last week, was it, that we saw on TV two black guys kissing on a commercial. I don't know what the thing. I had to go to the bathroom. I couldn't believe that, man. And you want to go out there and kick the TV in and everything. But that's what the world's going to offer, right? But John the Baptist preached against sin, you know. And not in generalization, but particular, specific, right? This category, that category, everything. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. Well, hey, preaching to the choir now, so let's move on. So we find, you know, John refused alcohol. Yeah, definitely. And music today, man, that dishonors the Lord, we ought not to listen. I'll tell you what. If it doesn't glorify Christ, turn the thing off. Any music, you know, country, anything, man. It should be for the glory of God. Everything that whatsoever we do or say, especially your sing. So we see he was great in his refusal and convictions. I mean, wow. Brother Harvey, he was preaching and teaching down there at Clarksville. And I was just, man, I didn't know. I came out of Brother Kirkman's church up there, Grace Baptist at Fairborn. When I was saved, the Lord led me right there. Wow. And then I learned the teachings and the doctrines of grace and the local New Testament church that has seemed to be driving. People are drifting away from today. They're hyper-grace, but they have no platform to put it on. I'm talking about church truth, folks. There are people that are not emphasizing church truth. You know, we say, well, if we do that, we're not going to get anybody. Well, why don't we do what God's will and let's be mindful of the Lord and not worry about, God gives the increase. Let's pray that he will. Let's pray that he'll convict us and convert souls out there. Amen? And so he was great in his refusal and convictions, you know. Secondly, if you take the notes, he was great in his renewal and consecration. Not only did he refuse some things and he was convicted about, but man, his renewal and consecration. We're told there that he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1 there, the next verse. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not enough to be empty of what's wrong, man. We got to be filled with who is right. Amen? You know? We need to. You can't fill yourself up, and so many people are filled with themselves. But we need to empty ourselves, Lord, and fill. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with your holy, holy Spirit. Amen. So true greatness comes from within, as the Holy Spirit were to be filled with. John the Baptist, we shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Didn't do any miracles, but he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the demonstration was, we find he was great in his refusal and conviction. Secondly, as I say, renewal and consecration. He was definitely wholly consecrated unto the Lord. Man, look at his wardrobe. Look at his diet out there. He's in the wilderness there. He's a thundering in the wilderness. There was a voice in the wilderness. He said, John the Baptist identified himself. He humbled himself. He said, I'm a nobody. He said, hey, I am a voice. He didn't say, I'm John. He said, I'm a voice. That's all we are, to be witnesses. Amen? It's not about us. You know, let's look. This is a great church. And I'm not trying to hype you up, but you've been great in that you've been taught the knowledge of the Lord. You ought to be, that ought to humble you. And thankful, amen? As we go lower, we grow higher. And so we find that it was great in renewal and consecration. The fullness of the Spirit is to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you know? And be not drunk with wine in Ephesians 5:18, but be filled. You know, it's amazing. That's the same word over there we find in John chapter 2, that at the wedding that Christ, you know, that said that that when men are well drunk, you know, meth, and I'm trying to think of the last word, man. I'm getting a little bit old, forgetting all my Greek, you know. But it's the same word. When men have well drunk, you know, they came in the taster and said, hey, man, usually to give the good stuff at front when men have well drunk. And it's the word that, yeah, they were intoxicated. That's the same word, intoxicated. Man, what a wedding, huh? Yeah. But it's the same word over there in Ephesians 5:18. Now, men that are drunk, they're controlled by that substance. We ought to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's the idea. That's what Paul's saying. So let's move on. Thirdly, John the Baptist was great in his refusal and convictions, renewal and consecration, but he was also great in his revival and conversions. Listen, it says that over there, back in Luke chapter 1, we read in verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord. They got saved! They turned, what? From sin, like 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul wrote and said about you Thessalonians, he said, how you turn from idols to serve the living God. Why did he say the living God? Because idols are dead. They're dumb. You know? And what was that same famous sermon here? Nebo mouth or that? I forgot. You know. Anyway, let's move on. I told you I got senior moments, and so you spare me. Many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. You know, if we're filled, and as we are, and we better be filled with the Spirit of God, what's the result, man? The result, if God working through us, by us, what's God's will for us to do? And ye shall be witnesses, amen. John the Baptist, we're told in John chapter 1, and I got to read this to you. It's just real quick. Let me read this. It says, there was a man sent from God, there's authority, whose name was John. And the same was a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That might be, in verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, what? He was to bear what? Witness. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says the next verse over there, Luke chapter 1 and verse 16, and many the conversions that took place. Now, we're going to get to that other bunch that came there that weren't looking for salvation. They were come want to toot their horn. And so the Spirit, we find the result of the Spirit filled is conversions to the Lord, you know. Greatness, somebody says, comes as you attach yourself to a great cause. Okay, it's not attach, excuse me. There's nothing greater in all the world than winning a soul to Christ. Hey, ever seen somebody, I mean, really, now, everybody expresses differently. Somebody's a little bit quiet over there. Yeah. Trust the Lord. And all through the years, you watch him and doesn't change. You just a little peeper over there, a little quiet. He doesn't get excited. And then there's one over here. Man, there's Al Malo. He, what happened to him? Must have got a double dose or something. I don't know. I'm telling you, when God saved me, I've never been the same. Somebody said, I tell my wife, I said, when the Lord saved me, he opened my mouth. I used to be shy and timid. She said, why did he have to open it so wide? She said, whoa. Yes, a woman of wisdom. So there's nothing greater than grace, as the song goes. And John reproves Herod. Remember him thrown in jail because of it? And that's over in Luke chapter 3. I ain't got time to turn for his time's sake, but Luke chapter 3:19. And said, Herod, you know, John said, hey, man, you ought not to have your wife, your brother's wife, another woman. You see a lot of that stuff going on today. And so what we find, and we'll get into that, we'll cover that here in a second. But God asked in Psalms 94, verse 16, he put it to a question. The Lord said this, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Secondly, or who will stand up for me against workers of iniquity? Evildoers, workers of iniquity. We're supposed to stand up. We're supposed to speak up. Amen. Rise up. And, you know, hey! That's what the Lord said. Who's going to do it? You know, it said in Psalms 94:16. Who's going to speak about the gay rights and abortion and all that stuff that needs to be confronted? Amen. And that's our responsibility. That's right. But moving on, we find not only is reproval and confrontation there. We'll come back to that. But we see he was great also in his referral and confession. And John 3, you know, he must increase. John said, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no. He said, are you the Messiah? Are you the promised seed? Are you the anointed one supposed to come? No. I'm just a voice in the wilderness. I am to point to him, to speak about him, to preach about him. To direct others to him. Right? So that he was great in his referral and confession, John 3:30. You know, this is the real secret, somebody said, in greatness, humility. He must increase, I got to decrease. I get out of the picture. It's not about us. He said, I'm just a voice. I'm not John, just a voice. See? And you find him as he humbled himself. He was a man of great faith, but hey, faith can waver in all of us. He got in prison and his word come. He sent a message back to Christ. He said, are you the one that we're supposed to be? You know, doubt? My goodness, here. He went thundering fire and wilderness. And all of a sudden, what happened? Folks, I'll tell you what, that's why we need to strengthen ourselves up. Times of adversity. Man, this thing that hit the nation. People, wow. Devastated. There's something worse coming than that. That's nothing compared to what's coming. It's sad. It's sad. The plagues. Book of Revelation, we're not getting into that. But here we find a referral and confession. So somebody said, the beginning of greatness is to be little. The increase of greatness is to be less. And the perfection of greatness is to be nothing. John says, I got to get out of the picture. I'm nothing. He's everything. Amen. When we got that attitude, what we do is we're going to want to serve Him. Amen. We're going to worship Him. It's true. And so we see here a faithful man who we find that he did the Lord's will. You've been in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6 talks about a faithful man. Who can find? A faithful man. Who can find, right? A faithful woman who can find also. So we see this thundering going on in this wilderness, man. Here's this preacher. And we find that John the Baptist, he addressed sin fearlessly, didn't he? I mean, he took on the leaders, the kings, those that in power. In those days, John the Baptist came a preaching, we're told there in verse 1. And he was the voice of one crying. He thundered against the sin of Herod in his adultery. He thundered against the sins of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their hypocrisy. And he also thundered against the common man for his apathy towards sin. You know, when Christ came, nobody cared. They weren't looking for the Lord. You know, I read a book, I don't know if it was Charles Simeon or who it was. I'm trying to think of the book. I have it in my library. I have a lot of books in my library. Too many. Need to get rid of them. And anyway, he said that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and a passage in the Gospel of Luke, it said that when Christ came into the world, that the Jews, it said, Herod was troubled. I can understand why that dude was troubled. But it says, and all Israel was troubled. I'll tell you why they were troubled. They should have known. If they had rightly interpreted, been in the book, interpreting it rightly, they should have been on the lookout. Well, it's been 400 years. We haven't heard from God. I guess He's a goner, you know. Oh, really? John addressed sin fearlessly. He sure did. He thundered against it. And we find he preached repentance passionately. He preached repentance passionately. He sure did. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, some people try to attempt with this soft pedal of John's message. They're trying to say, well, that repentance, that was just the Old Testament repentance, you know. But, you know, then the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene. And what was His sermon? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand, right? Same message. Oh, we're going to split it off like John did. We're under grace, brother. That's Old Testament stuff. Yeah, you need to get saved, sounds like to me. Huh? But this message of repentance is the same one that Christ preached in Matthew 4:17 that John preached. God's message always has been and always will be one of repentance. Amen. Towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I feel like I look out in the crowd and I hear and I see. I don't know if you're getting any of this. I hope and pray that you do. But what's your desire? Do you want to be great like John the Baptist? Man, he preached repentance, but he did it passionately. You know? We are. If we can't weep over sinners, if we can't have a broken heart, if we don't care, hell. We need to maybe do a study on that and take a little tour on that in Luke 16. That rich man cried out that his torments plural. And he didn't ask for a bottle of water or even a glass, man, just a drop. And I tell you, there are flames of hell still burning today, eternally. And there's this one guy that chopped off John the Baptist's head and he's still running around that hair. Oh, I still see that head! The conscience will eat like a... It will eat. Men, eternally, conviction will come too late. But thirdly, I'm really a nice guy. I just sound mean. Listen, John confronted hypocrisy openly in verse 7. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you bunch of snakes, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Rather, than play up to these notable leaders of religion and want to join up with the big shots, John decried their sin of self-righteous piety. He confronted hypocrisy openly. Oh, he preached repentance passionately. But thirdly, moving on, fourthly, John expected fruit spiritually. He said in verse 8, he said, therefore, we're over Matthew 3, I'm sorry, I didn't even have you turn over. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. In essence, John's saying, your pious talk means nothing. Your rituals are empty. Your religion is lifeless. You need to repent. Can you imagine saying that to the big wiggers? Yeah, they need a lot of them, man. Lifted up windbags. John anticipates the protest. He knows that they're going to repent. What? He knows that they're going to try to fall back on their heritage. We be Jews. Abraham is our father. How dare you say that we need to repent? But in verse 9, man, John already knew it. They didn't even get it out, man. He knew it. He went right from verse 8 to verse 9. There's no break in the speech there. He says in verse 9, look at what he says. John bellows it out. And don't think for 1 minute anyway. He says, don't think for to yourselves. Don't talk to yourselves. Don't try to convince yourselves that you don't have any need, that you're not on your way to hell. Don't think for a minute. We have Abraham as our father. That's going to get you, and that'll split you wide open in hell, your religion. I like what your pastor said earlier in Sunday school talking about religion. He said, I hate religion or something like that. And I said, amen to that, man. We have relationship, not religion. Religion is what damn sends souls to hell. Whether they be atheist or religious, they're all in the same boat. And that's on the way threshing forth to hell. So John told them, and he said, bring forth. Here's what he said. He expected fruit spiritually. They came and they had their thoughts, but he said, don't think for 1 minute. He says, for I say unto you, God to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. I tell you what, God is able to do that. And fruit was expected a necessary evidence of true saving faith. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. Either you're saved, either you're a saint or you ain't, somebody said. Now, look at, I'm almost done here. John not only expected fruit spiritually, he proclaimed judgment boldly. We find even now the axe is laid to the... This is John the Baptist. Lord said, he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. May not be in the Pharisees' eyes. May not be in Herod's eyes. May not be in the common man. But he's great in the sight of the Lord, and I want to be great in the sight of the Lord. How can we be great in the sight of the Lord? Look at John's life. I'm telling you, he didn't have a short message. He was truly a Baptist. He proclaimed judgment boldly. Down in verse 10 and 11, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which doth not bear for good fruit is cut down and hewn down and thrown down into the fire. And I indeed die. John says, hey, I indeed baptize with you. And second person plural, y'all. You know, you got to get this right. You know, like in the repentance you find over there in Acts 2:38, you know, repent ye and be baptized. Amazing, when you study that, you look at that, and repent is the second person plural, and be baptized is third person singular. Hold on there. What do you mean, Peter? Well, repent. Y'all need to repent. See, second person plural. But only those that repent, third person singular, and be baptized. See? Is that got part of our salvation? No, that's proof that anybody does. Well, I'm saved, but I don't have to be a member of a church. I don't have to do anything, tell you the truth. I'm living on my own. Yeah, you are. You are without Christ. These people that the freelancers, loafers and floaters, people that make a profession of faith, they say they're saved. They show no evidence. Don't try to encourage them. I encourage sinners to come hear the Word of God. And I preach to them, and only God I know can save them. But I'll tell you what, I don't like preaching empty pews. And we've got them. And I'm praying that God will fill them. But I'm doing God's bidding and not my own. He says, and he proclaimed judgment boldly, I say. He says, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. If you, you know, that you've been, the idea is it reflects that there's, you repented, and then you're baptized. But he who's coming after me is mightier than I. That's Christ, whose sandals I'm not worthy. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, we know the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and Christ, of course, in John 20 there, he came, and there he got the doors locked, you know, after Christ died. Man prepared, but he rose again. He come, didn't even have to open the door, man, right through the wall. There he went. I don't know about you, but that would have got my attention, don't you think? And he said, and he did two things. He said, he breathed onto them. Christ breathed onto his church there, didn't he? Twice. Now, what's the purpose of the double dosage? Well, here's my Almelo's interpretation. I believe that the first time was that, you know, peace be still. They were fearful. The first time was to get their nerves calmed down, okay? I mean, you know, they're not fit to serve the Lord. They're a mess. But he came to them, the resurrected Christ. And then he breathed on them a second time. You know what I think he did? The second time, he breathed onto them understanding. Now, that's just, take it for what you want. Let's move on. Oh, my goodness. Is that the clock right? I'm done out of time in 10 seconds here. So, we find that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let's move on. Last one. Last point. I had a lady over at Bethany Baptist. She made me a T-shirt years ago. You get this habit of saying in closing or in conclusion. She had on front, she had in closing, and on the back, in conclusion, gave it to me. I got the message. I knew what she was saying. Now, there's two other passages here. You've seen the next day John saw Jesus coming, and he said, this is John exalting Christ faithfully, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, John 1:29. Boy, what a wonderful passage. And John 3:30, I already told you, he must increase, I must decrease. Personal thought in closing, just this, that God needs more servants like John. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. Do you want to be great like John? Amen. Yeah. Well, he was a thundering in the wilderness, wherever God finds you. There was a voice that was ringing out. Amen. We need to ring out. Lift up your voices. There was a faith that was shining through the dark time, difficult days that John had, even though in jail, but when you find him, his faith, you know, even after that, they chopped his head off. Yeah, they did. Because he spoke up against sin. But the spirit remains humble. Amen. John said, I must decrease, he must increase. I want to be great in the sight of the Lord. That's my message. Thank you for your patience, your pastor. You ought to thank God for him. I mean that. I'm serious. Man, if I was over here in this area and I'm done with the pastoring and stuff, I come over and try to be the best support I can for you, brother. I mean that. I'm thankful for the people. We ain't got many, but the people we got, they're very supportive of their pastor. They love us. I don't know why, but they love Wanda. I know they do. They love me also, and I'm thankful for their love for me. Would you pray for my health? And pray for us. We're praying for the Lord's will, and we don't know. We're so away from our children, grandchildren. And it gets lonely over there, my wife tells me. Yes. And so pray for her also. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, church.
Amen. Thanks, Brother Baylor.
Was I supposed to push a button on this thing? Man, that's a mess.
Right here, I'll take care of it.
Okay.
All right. You take it off.
All right.